The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good speech.
Nice and short.
Leaves more time for drinking. Break out the ale! These men are thirsty!
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Here, drink up. We'll never finish the other three.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, and everything you never wanted to know about wine. Yes, we are happy and perky, and things are good at the studio today because we have survived Thanksgiving.
Yay!
Yay! It's over. It's done with. The bird did not win this year. Bird hit the floor twice. I hit the floor once. I figured that was a great compromise.
Did you cook at all?
I did. I actually did.
Well, what did you cook?
I cooked turkey and sweet potatoes and ham and macaroni and dressing, green bean casserole, all the old-time favorites.
And all edible.
All edible.
Wow.
It was all edible. I cheated.
What'd you do?
Well, I got the old copies of Southern Living and I got the old copies of Food and Wine, and I just tore out the recipe. And as long as I was sober enough to read, it came out pretty well.
The food always tastes good when you've had a few glasses of wine, too.
Yeah, the problem was when I got to like the third or fourth dish I was trying to cook and actually had to see and read, did that say one cup or one tablespoon?
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, I had a measurement issue there, but we got past that and Thanksgiving was great. I did learn once again, and I will learn this one holiday season, you do not mix Chardonnay and turkey when it comes to taking the turkey out of the oven.
Why not?
Well, because after you've had your bottle of Chardonnay, your coordination's really not where it needs to be fooling with that big pan.
We're talking bottle here, right?
We're talking bottle. Okay. Of course we're talking bottle. If you're talking a major holiday and my parents are involved, it's not glasses, it's bottles.
Okay. You don't even bother with the glasses around your house.
Pretty much, no.
Just more dishes to do.
You remember this. This is why we don't recycle.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Could it be too embarrassing after holidays to put our recycling bin out there with the 50 bottles of wine it took us to get through the 5 days?
Neighbors do talk.
They do, especially in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's us on the Wine Crush. We're having fun and we're happy. But always Thanksgiving is interesting. It brings out different sides of people and you get to see a whole bunch of different things that you don't ordinarily see. Now, of course, I'm going to see wine in everything I do, which is why I have a neat antidote that leads to the theme of today's show. But before I get to that, we have a great guest today. We have Jeff Meyer. He is the director of winemaking for J. Lore Vineyards. He's going to talk to us about what's going on out in California, what's going on with his vineyards, and talk about vineyard management a little bit. And after we get done with Jeff, we're going to have some of your calls and some of your emails. But if we're going to do more segments on calls and emails, that means you need to call us. Reach out to us on the Wine Line, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. We always want your 2 cents worth in. It's always interesting. And besides, I need something new to make fun of now that I don't have my turkey anymore. For those of you who are going to continue to drink, like I am, since we are officially in the drinking season, because yes, it is 3 weeks till Christmas. For those of you who have not done your Christmas shopping or realize that yes, it is impending, you have 21 days. The clock starts now. So for those of you who need to drink for encouragement or want to give wines as gifts, I have 2 great recommendations for you this week. The first is Provenance Sauvignon Blanc. I was thinking Napa Valley a lot lately, and Provenance is right in the heart of Rutherford. They do a great Sauvignon Blanc. It's very nectarine. It's very honeydew. What's great about it, it's not overly acidic. A lot of times some of that acid will get to you after a while if you have to drink it over and over again. This one's nice. It's smooth. It's mellow. It has a great brightness to it, but it's not going to hurt your tongue. So give that a shot, Provenance Sauvignon Blanc. And as long as we are in the region of Napa Valley, I was thinking Clos du Val Cabernet. They've released their 06 vintage, and what person would not want to take 3 goddesses to dinner? Yes, Clos du Val, known by the 3 goddesses on their label. This is great. It's 85% Cab, so you've got 15% of a Cab Franc, Malbec, Petit Verdot blend in there to soften it out. So you get a lot of black fruit. You get some great spice to it. It's very, very big, but because of the fact there are 15% of other varietals in there, it's soft enough to drink now. Word of caution with this wine, do not spill it on anything you are attached to. It is very deep, it is very black, and it's not going to come out of grandmother's white tablecloth. And yes, I learned that this past weekend as well. So those are your two wine recommendations, Clos de Vall, V-A-L, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Provenance Sauvignon Blanc. We'll take a trip to Napa today. Well, when you talk about Thanksgiving, like I mentioned, it always brings out interesting sides of people. And for today's theme, I'm going to tell you a little story. My house around Thanksgiving, it is kind of the wayward halfway house for homeless people, in the sense that on Thanksgiving Day, if you don't have anywhere to go or you just, you know, have no family too far to travel, it's always, hey, drop by. Come on by. We'll be cooking from about 11 up until about 9. Feel free, stop in, say hello, make new friends, that kind of thing. So you never know who's going to be happening at my house, and it's always going to be a little bit of a party. Well, in light of that fact, I had met some new friends this year, and I invited a couple other people. Hey, y'all, come on, drop on by. I look forward to seeing you. Well, a couple people I invited didn't show up, and with my reputation, that didn't necessarily surprise me. But I heard later through the grapevine that one of the people I had invited did not show up because they didn't know what to bring and were too intimidated to bring a bottle of wine. Since they couldn't cook and they didn't know what wine to bring and couldn't bring wine to my house, they just decided not to come. Well, the first part of me just kind of reacted and thought, oh, well, now I feel guilty. Now I feel bad. Then the logical side of me stepped forward and said, well, that's just the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. You're going to forego doing a Thanksgiving celebration and having fun because you're scared of a bottle of wine. Now, that leads to today's theme. Does America have a wine culture? Do we have we manifested our whole thoughts about alcohol and drinking and entertaining to the point where there are haves and there's have-nots? The haves, those of us who have studied wine, who know wine, who live and drink it, are we intimidating to the rest of the crowd? That is the whole life and blood of this show, as we try and make wine easy and approachable and enjoyable. But in doing so, have we foregone the culture around wine? Are people who are now drinking wine and enjoying it and buying all these inexpensive wines, are they scared to stand up with the people who have done it for years and say, here's what I've learned, here's what I know? So has our culture and our media and our obsession with making wine easy made it even more daunting for people out there? I'd love to hear your opinion on that. Has our culture hit a point where there's too wide of a gap between those that know and those that don't know? Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Or for those of you who want something a little more impersonal, do info, I-N-F-O at winecrush.com. Let me know your thoughts. Well, we're off and rolling on today's theme. And coming up after the break, we're going to have Jeff Meyer from J. Lore join us.
Now that we sat nice, broke bread together, shared a glass of wine, I feel I know you a little.
It's dance time in Texas and we're striking up the band.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus
plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we have the honor of talking with Jeff Meyer. He is everything from the director of winemaking to the chief operating partner to definitely one of the owners of J. Lohr, one of the great wineries down in Paso Robles. Jeff, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura.
How are you today?
I am doing just fine. Actually, we're enjoying some beautiful sunny weather here today. It's probably about 70 degrees, so I'm doing great.
You realize that's cruel and unusual punishment for those of us on the East Coast, right?
Sometimes, yeah. I've been back there in January and February, and yeah, it's good to be in California at times. Yeah.
Well, enjoy it while you can. Well, we are talking today. Obviously, we are delighted to have you on the show. I've always been a huge fan of J. Lohr, and I don't believe we've had anybody from Paso Robles on the show. So why don't you give our listeners an idea about J. Lohr and about your region?
Sure. Well, we're actually in two appellations, and we originally got our start back in the early 70s with a person by the name of Jerry Lohr, who is the winery owner and founder. And initially, we were in Monterey County, a little town called Greenfield, which is about halfway down the Monterey Salinas Valley area. And like a lot of early people in the industry, Jerry, with a lot of advice from the university where I went to at Davis, as well as locals, kind of got advice that in Monterey you could plant pretty much anything. The climate would be perfect for Cabernet and Chardonnay and all those things. And in essence, Jerry learned very quickly that Monterey was really too cold for all but four varieties that we planted in the area, which was Chardonnay, White Riesling, an obscure variety called Valdiguier, and then another variety called Pinot Blanc. Jerry was a real lover of Cab and was kind of disappointed with the initial difficulties that we had in Monterey. So he and his winemaker at that time, Barry Nico, who was my mentor back in the late 70s, early 80s, began looking for a place to grow Cab and really fell in love with an area about 1 hour south of where we are in Monterey County, a little town called Paso Robles, which is a short distance, really, in just 60 miles, but it's a world of difference in terms of climate. It's much warmer during the day, oftentimes getting up into the 100-degree temperature range, but still getting that coastal influence at night. So we'll chill down to 50 degrees or so during the evening. It's a very oak-studded kind of rolling hills area, just about 17 miles from the Pacific Ocean. 17 miles from the Pacific Ocean. Hearst Castle is one of the major landmarks to the west of us. It's a really beautiful, very pastoral area, and it's really become sort of one of the exciting appellations from some of the wine writers here in the United States for not only the Rhone varieties, but also, as they like to refer to, the blends, the Cabernet Syrah blends and Bordeaux-type blends, as well as Rhone-based blends in the area. So it's kind of exciting to have been there for 10 years before the excitement really sort of began here.
To be part of the excitement. You weren't there before. You were part of the culmination of the excitement.
That's right. I think we were one of less than 30 wineries when we first went down to the Paso area, and now I think we're over 200.
Oh, good Lord. I didn't realize there were that many down there.
Yes. It's a very, very exciting area. A lot of a lot of really small sort of mom and pop type operations that have sprouted up in the area. But J. Lohr is definitely, we have been one of the anchors for Paso Robles, and really across the United States. If you want to taste a wine from Paso Robles, you need to really look no further than our Seven Oaks Cabernet, which is kind of our flagship red that we have been making down from the Paso Robles area since 1987, anyways.
Yeah, your website does a great job of outlining all your wines. And for our listeners, that's real easy. It's jlohr, LOHR.com. It's very friendly. It's very good. It's very navigable. So for our listeners that want to check out all the wines, please do that on their website. Jeff, I love J. Lohr, but after looking at your bio and everything you've done, you have had a very interesting career. You literally started from the ground up. Tell us about you. Tell us how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I guess, I'm really fortunate in sort of my parents, who were sort of Midwest transplants in the late 50s, came to California, and then just sort of being here, you are exposed, I guess, to sort of the wine country environment. If you do any sort of travel at all, it is one of the kind of the neat places to go and visit. I never really put two and two together as far as, looking at all these people that seem to be happy with their work in the wine country. When I got dragged along as a kid, when relatives would come out from the Midwest or whatever, but I went to the University of California at Davis on a different path than I ended up in, but I always loved being outdoors. And when I went to school there, I quickly realized that they had a world-class wine program. A lot of students from France, from South America were there, and took a class and just sort of got hooked, and finished my degree, and was in the early 80s here in California, and actually worked in wine sales for a little while, but ended up coming to work at Crush at J. Lohr, and never left, essentially. It's been a great company to work for. I dragged hoses. I built catwalks and plumbed glycol lines or refrigerant lines in, and electrical. I had enough skills to stay employed until some real jobs, I guess, opened up at the winery, more in line with my education, which was more the winemaking and sort of grape growing part of the business. But, I ran the bottling line for a few years, but all of those experiences for me were really important in sort of getting an appreciation of all of the effort that it takes to run a bottling line, to, coordinate all the materials coming in, to put a physical plant together, to drag hoses and do the real grunt work of winemaking that a lot of us winemakers sit back in our offices anymore and write blends, and somebody magically makes, tank A get blended with four barrels and that sort of thing. But
that thing doesn't magically happen. They have poor little flunkies like us. They come out and they point and they say, here, you're learning how to do this.
That's right.
We're sitting there covered in grape pomace all the way through, our hands are permanently purple and our shoes will never be the same again.
Exactly.
Well, you are definitely living the dream, without a doubt. You definitely have the passion for wine, and it shows through in what you do. I have a question for you, because you're actually going to fall victim to this, because you're perfect for today's theme.
Okay.
Something we were talking about earlier in the show is the fact, does America have a wine culture? Have we surpassed it? Are we not, you know, obviously you look at the European nations, wine factors in their daily lives. Someone like you, I would imagine you'll say instantly that America does have a wine culture. But what do you think?
I think we're still a young wine culture here in the United States. I think, you know, certain areas of the country have sort of, if you've grown up with it, in California, maybe, you know, certain parts of New York and Virginia where, you know, they do have some wine growing areas, Michigan and so on. I think you're exposed to it at a relatively young age, and so you sort of see it. It's you know, we were fortunate enough to have some family friends that really enjoyed wine growing up. So we, you know, my parents being from the Midwest at that time, it wasn't really a part of their cultural upbringing, but yet they very quickly sort of became very much interested and involved in it. And certainly when I got into the business, my brother-in-law works for a large distributor here in California. So for them, it's sort of like supporting the family farm. And I think across the country, I spent some time in the Midwest at a family reunion this summer and kind of brought wine with me and tasted everybody on what we're making and that sort of thing. But I think it's becoming more, it's in the early stages, I think, nationally, but I think it's certainly something that people are exposed to much more and are starting to really enjoy as, you know, as a part of, you know, of a good life.
Day in and day out life.
Yeah.
I was curious, definitely, because you have been bathed in the waters. There's no doubt about that. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you being on The Crush today. Obviously, for our listeners, the link to Jay Lohr is going to be on our website, so you can check out more about Jeff and his fascinating bio and, of course, the wonderful wines that Jay Lohr puts out. Jeff, hopefully we can have you back on the show at some point. We can talk about your new releases.
Well, thanks so much, Laura, for having me, and best wishes for everybody for a great holiday season coming up. And
for you as well. Enjoy that 70-degree weather while it's 30 degrees and we're putting our tree up.
Okay.
Jeff, you take care now. All right, we're going to take a small break, but when we get back, after all, the show is all about you, and we'll have your calls and your emails.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today, we are discussing the fact as to whether or not America has a wine culture. And if you look at things like we just talked with Jeff, Jeff was born and raised in the wine business. He spent a lot of time in the wine business. He grew up essentially being a cellar rat all the way through. So he understood wine. It was always part of his life. Yes, someone like that has a wine culture. But think about the people who are growing up on the East Coast, Midwest, Deep South, who don't really understand wine until they turn into their 20s. And they start looking, well, am I supposed to like this? Am I supposed to like that? At that point, it becomes a learning curve. So how do they learn the culture? You think about Europeans. You think about the formalness of sitting down to dinner. I know that when I was planning my Thanksgiving dinner, by the time I got all the glassware on the table, there was barely room for side plates because of the formality of it. But in looking at something like that, does that turn people off? Oh, there's 4 different glasses for 4 different wines. No, that's too intimidating. On the flip side of it, when we go buy a bottle of 2-buck Chuck and pop the cork off it and pour it into Dixie cups, does that take some of the glamour out of it? Somewhere in the middle has got to define Americans' wine culture, and I can't do it yet. That's why I'm looking for your help. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Would love to hear what your opinions are on that. But also, you look at how we market things here in the United States, and I have 2 more wine recommendations for you today. And if these are the defining moments of American wine culture, I think I'm going to run scared. There is a brand new pink bubbly right now. The Australian winemaker Chris Ringland, who makes all the first-tier wines, has come out with a new little sparkler called Bitch. Yes, you can get a bottle of Bitch to take home and toast with your family and friends.
Right. Got enough. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Right now, it's the number one seller with sororities across the nation. And, of course, I guess if you want a pair to go with it, I guess for dinner you could sit down with a bottle of Bitch and a bottle of Fat Bastard and invite whatever company you wanted to. At least it would be entertaining discussion. As long as those were the bottles, not the company, I think you should be fine. Well, of course, we do like to hear what you have to say. And right now we do have a caller. We have Cam from Richmond. Cam, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I'm planning on buying some friends wine glasses for Christmas this year, and they drink both red and white wines. I was wondering, does the shape and type of the glass make any difference?
There's a lot of people, I'm one of them, that will tell you, yes, the shape of the glass makes a big difference. But overall, if your friends already don't have wine glasses, I wouldn't worry about it. In fact, if you look at kitchens today, I know if I had to store one more glass in my house, it is entirely possible that the whole kitchen would implode, the ceiling would fall in, and I wouldn't be able to find anything for 2 weeks. Spiegel, Riedel, and even your basic Crate and Barrel make one type of wine glass. It is a tulip-shaped glass. It is probably around 12 ounces, and it's the perfect interchangeable red and white size. For people who drink just casually, I think it's the best bet. Now, for people who do take wine seriously and their glassware seriously, there are lines specifically designed per varietal. I know that Riedel has a Chardonnay line. It has a Pinot Noir line. It has a Cabernet line. I know that Spiegel does as well. I know they're dessert wines. Of course, champagne glasses, those are a whole different ballgame. But it just depends on how into wine your friends are. My personal recommendation, I did not think I would like these at all, but I have learned to like them. The stemless wine glasses. In fact, I'll go ahead and recant. I know I did a show about this where I complained about the stemless. And I said it was miserable. It was rotten. I have learned that if you're going to be entertaining a lot, these stemless wine glasses, they're called O's, are an entertainer's best friend. People don't get excited. They can't. It's very hard for them to knock them over. I have friends who can't make a sentence without using their hands. These are very dangerous people to have over with glasses of wine. The stemless wine glasses make it easier, and the fact they won't knock it over, they enjoy it, and it always sits right where you leave it. So actually, if you want to be trendy and cute, that would be my recommendation this year. Go out and get them 6 stemless wine glasses. They will do for red or white, and I guarantee your friends will enjoy them.
Do these look like just regular glasses?
Well, no. They look like the bowl of a wine glass with no stem. The bottoms of them are flat, so imagine how a regular wine glass looks.
Okay.
So go on the Wine Crush website, look at our little logo, look at that, and then think about it without the stem.
Okay.
Kind of like a Weeble Wobble. Weeble Wobbles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah.
Same concept.
All right.
All right. Well, Cam, I hope that helps you out, and I certainly will be interesting. I can't believe we have to talk about Christmas gifts. I guess we're going to have to do a show, Kent. We're going to have to come up with the best Christmas gifts for wine lovers again.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I know. I had a lot of fun with that one last year. I'll try and stay sober for this one.
Did you buy any of the gifts you actually recommended?
I did. I bought wine books for everybody. That's my favorite gift of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the entertaining books, whether it's the fact books, whether it's the encyclopedias. They're just really good gifts, and especially for someone who loves wine. Say Robert Parker's book. It changes every year,
mm-hmm.
So you have the whole series. So I have friends that know that's going to be their Christmas gift every year, because that way I can go to Barnes & Noble and be done.
Okay.
I'm easy. All right. I think we have a couple more callers coming up. Right now we have...
Ebony
from Columbia. Ebony.
My question is, what are stressed grapes, and does it affect the taste of the wine?
What are stressed grapes? Those poor little guys that did the Fruit of the Loom costume and had to run around in nothing but their underwear, those were very stressed grapes. No, that's not fair.
No, more specific.
Yes. All right. What happens? They say that the best wine comes from stress vines. And when you have vines planted, it seems like an anomaly. They look for, dry soil. They look for non-irrigation. They want the roots to have to struggle. You don't want this beautiful, lush, great garden like we're used to seeing in the back of our houses. No, it needs to be kind of arid. It needs to be very dry. It needs to be very diligently protected in the sense that the poor roots have to struggle all the way down. Now, if the vines are this stressed, it means that the fruit it produces is going to be much more concentrated. And if the fruit is more concentrated, ergo, you're going to have more flavors in your final wine. Now, of course, there's a lot of schools of thoughts on this, on how the canopy should be managed, how stressed the vines should be, whether they should be watered or not. This goes into the whole argument on biodynamic and dynamic and whether you should use pesticides. So what seems like a very, very simple question is actually not. It could be a topic for a whole show. But ultimately, it comes down to this basic fact. Most winemakers want their vines to have to fight. If the vine has to fight, then the grapes are going to be better. If the grapes are better, the wine's going to be better. I personally like my answer about the poor little stressed out Fruit of the Loom guy.
Not good
but that's
enough.
Neither here nor there. Ebony, I hope that helps. If not, feel free to call back and get our opinion again. Right now, we're going to take a small break, but when we return, we will certainly have more of your questions and your commentary here on The Crush.
Drink. The Wine Crush. Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are trying to define if whether or not America has a wine culture. Between the formality that some of us insist on, between the informality that we talk about. It's kind of like we say Americans, they talk dry but they drink sweet. All of us in media, all of us in the press, we all talk about wine because we want to simplify it. But when you come around to coming to my house or coming to one of my events, are we still standoffish? Do we still scare people because they're in a defined procedure and defined culture? So that is our discussion topic, and would love to hear what you have to say on it. Email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. As long as we are talking about American wine culture, I'll just do wine culture all the way around and announce, yes, the Wine Crush has a great contest for December. This is something new. We haven't done it, but I need some entertainment value now that the turkey is out of the realm of thinking. So, in light of that, this is the first annual Wine Crush Champagne Toast Contest. I want your best champagne toast. I want to know what you're going to stand up and say on New Year's Eve. Email it to us, Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com, or you can also email it to info, at winecrush.com, and let us know your favorite toast. Now, obviously, we know all the standard toasts, you know, may all your pains be champagne, something like that. I want something original. I want to see creativity. Maybe in here we will find the definition to the answer, does America have a wine culture? Let's see what toast you come up with.
I have one.
What's your toast, Kent?
All right. I heard this one on Bonanza.
Okay.
Ben Cartwright stood up in front of Hoss, Little Joe, and everybody gathered in the room and said this. Ladies and gentlemen, friendship is the wine of life. The longer we keep it, the stronger and sweeter it grows.
Wow.
Doesn't get much better than that.
I like the toast. He definitely doesn't listen to the show.
And if I could talk like Ben Cartwright, it would sound better. So.
Yeah, that, and of course, if you keep wine too long, it becomes vinegar, and that would be a problem with that toast.
Yeah, that's true.
But then again, I have some friendships like that as well. So see, as you can see from Kent's wonderful off-the-cuff addition to the show, we are looking at some great toast. We hope you will come up with one for us. And like I said, I might just be cheating and have to do an event on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So yes, the winner of the contest can get one of the only wine crust t-shirts that are actually in existence. You can be the envy of all your friends. So once again, your champagne toast to Laura Lawson at winecrust.com. But I guess I've heard enough out of me. I guess I ought to hear some out of you. So right now we have April on the wine line. April, welcome to the Crush.
I recently brought a case of wine, and the corks were wet, but none of the bottles were broken. What would cause this, and is the case bad?
Well, there are a lot of things that could happen with that. If all of you really had a handle on how that wine gets to you, your hair would stand on end. By the time it gets over from Italy, Spain, or by the time it gets to California to actually your supermarket shelves, if you knew all the conditions and the places it saw and visited, you'd be shocked. But what I am guessing, April, is that, one, you didn't say whether or not the box had gotten wet. It's kind of hard to say that all the corks are wet, but nothing's leaking and no bottles were broken. So I'm wondering, literally, if the box itself didn't get wet at some point. Something else that could have happened, a lot of times your wineries and your wholesalers are now using temperature-controlled rooms, trucks, and everything to ship these wines in, which I think is a great addition. It shows they're really trying to pay attention to the wine and to take care of it. But unfortunately, if the grocery store or the mega mart where you have actually purchased the wine isn't temperature controlled, or the truck that delivered it wasn't temperature controlled, you can have a condensation problem. Because what will happen is these wines have been kept about 63 degrees. They go out into average temperature where it's going to be about 78 degrees. And obviously the wine's colder, it's going to condense. And sometimes that can catch under the capsule. The other option is somewhere along the line is just the opposite of that. That whole case of wine got heated and leaked just enough for those corks to be wet. So, April, I don't have a concrete answer for you, but my best advice to you, pop a cork, taste it. If you like it, drink it. If you don't like it and they are not good, take the case of wine back to the retailer you bought it to. If they're a worthwhile retailer, they will definitely give you your money back or at least swap it out for you. April, I hope that helps. And do give us a call and let us know how it worked. All right, we have another victim on the wine line. We have Corey from Washington. Corey, welcome to the Wine Crush.
My question is, I'm hosting a holiday party, and I plan on serving several bottles of red wine and have red wine decanters, and I didn't know if I needed to change the decanter for each bottle of wine that I used, or if I could use the same decanter regardless of the wine that was poured in it.
Corey, you're going to have to change decanters, simply because the shape of modern decanters, you could get sediment trapped in the bottom of it, you could get... God forbid you had a bad bottle of wine go into one of the decanters and then you poured a good wine on top of it. You could actually taint the good wine. You don't necessarily have to have three different decanters. What you can do is rinse it out every time you've used it. I do have friends who have tricked themselves with the decanters before. Say we only have one nice decanter and we're sitting down with three bottles of wine. They have actually used glass pitchers, like the pitchers you would pour iced tea or water into, and have poured the wine in there, and then when they went back to serve it at the table, they poured it from the pitcher into the clean decanter. But unfortunately, yes, you are going to have several decanters. I did notice, though, if you go into Crate and Barrel, if you go into World Market, any of your mega marts these days, they have all kind of neat different shapes and sizes of decanters, and they're really inexpensive. Don't think that you have to go out and buy these great $90 Megamart crystal decanters. They're really not worth it. One, they're not dishwasher safe. Two, they crack easy. Three, believe it or not, they're really hard to get clean. If you get a truly sediment heavy wine and put that in a decanter and it sits there about 2 hours and you go back and try and get that decanter totally clean, it really is an acrobatic exercise and you look like a moron by the time it's all said and done. I actually saw one of the cutest decanters I had seen in years. And it was at a National Mega Mart type of store. It was a pig. It was a little glass pig, and the nose was a snout, and it had four little pig feet on the bottom of the decanter. I think it was $7.99. Something like that is definitely entertaining. It's a great conversation piece, and it might serve your purpose well. So, Corey, I'm sorry. Yes, you're going to have to find other means to decant the wine, but at least there's a lot of creative ways to do it. Right now, we're going to take a small break, but when we return, I'm going to wrap this show up and talk a little bit more about culture, and hopefully I can find some during the break.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. Hi-ya! It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Been listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have been trying to discuss whether or not America has a wine culture. We've had some great guests with us. We had Jeff Meyer from J. Lore give his 2 cents worth in. And of course, you've had my opinions. But I think to look at all as a whole, if you think about where we are now, for the last 30 years, we have seen the haves. We have seen the people who had the Bordeaux, the Burgundies, the higher end wines, who bought them, flaunted them, and taught and felt like wine was beneath everybody else but them. Everyone thought that only the rich can have it, the poor cannot. Well, then we saw the other side of the equation come in, where you saw the Australian wines come in, the two-buck chucks, where you had everything $5 and under, that all of a sudden the Americans were riding this quest and Crest of Great Ocean of Wine coming out there. So then we had the people who are drinking $5 wine. Then we had people who are drinking $500 wine. And somewhere along the line, there became a gap between these two. This is where your media came in. This is where radio shows like The Crush came in to try and educate and enlighten the populace. But ultimately, I don't think we're doing a good enough job. I don't think we have a culture at all, to be honest with you. I think we are trying to. I think we have started to have one. But no, unfortunately, instead of having a wine culture, I think we have a predetermined image about what wine is supposed to be. Somewhere along the lines, we still have that idea that wine is gentility, wine is sophistication. Wine is what you do around a table. This is how you socialize. This is how the upper crust works. It is an image-based thing. And unless you've grown up on a farm, and unless you've grown up pulling hoses, you don't understand what the culture is. Unfortunately, that image we have is a little daunting. It can be overwhelming. And I am totally up for finding a way to shatter that image. One of my favorite authors is James Conway, and I am rereading the book he wrote, The Far Side of Eden. And he has a great passage in here. Everybody who mattered suddenly had to have their own vintage. They had to have their own vineyard. This link to ancient tradition was the latest best way of transforming money into status, though what the newcomers really wanted was a vineyard and a Cabernet made from its fruits that would be highly ranked by the critics and set them miles ahead of merely wealthy people. The locals couldn't afford these wines, but had to listen to the weekenders talk about them. And I think in that line, it capsulizes the problem with American wine culture. You have people who want to be showy. You have people that want to be flashy, but you're forgetting the fact that it's everybody, everyday beverage that makes wine what it is. It's part of lifestyle. It's part of living and breathing. It is an alive thing that should be part of it. Do I think we've damaged ourselves with the fact that you can't drink until you're 21 years old? Absolutely. You look at the Europeans, they're giving children watered-down wines. So they grow up with a taste for it. They grow up with sophistication. They grow up understanding that it's just part of a balanced dinner, a balanced diet. And I think we've done a lot to damage ourselves and our culture that way. Once again, that's my own prerogative, but yes, I think it's ridiculous that you have to be 21 to drink wine. Even in Jeff Meyer's own biography, he writes, "Although I was too young to taste, Jeff fell in love with the beauty and tranquility of the vineyards at a young age. Anyone who's being able to walk those vineyards to experience that lifestyle needs to be able to experience the fruit of the vine and see what's going on in their yards. And in doing so, I think they will find that will be the generation of American wine culture. That's where everybody will learn. Everybody will appreciate from an early age." Well, those are my 2 cents worth. And as always, I am Laura Lawson. And here at the Wine Crush, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.